onions? You ready to have a dino time that's dynamite?
Stop it!
I know, it was awful.
You would fire me for that!
I would fire you for that. And I'll leave if you want me to. I would understand.
No, I would never ask you to leave. I can't do this alone.
Don Bluth, what are you doing?
We love a Don Bluth film on this podcast.
Apparently. Because here we are.
Hey!
This shit was sad. I was in my feels about this one. I already had a day. And then this happened. Welcome back to Kicking and Streaming, where the dinosaurs speak English and they sound like lions.
I'm Carrie.
I'm Ross.
And this week we are talking about the 1988 animated adventure film, The Land Before Time.
Dinosaurs!
Dino, dinosaur, dino, dinosaur.
Welcome back to another selection of Dino Streaming.
Dino Streaming.
Yes.
I love it, yeah.
We're doing all dinosaur films this month, and here's week two with The Land Before Time. Holy shit. I don't remember this film.
Yeah, I know.
Not from childhood. I do remember it from childhood, but this was more of a you thing.
Yeah, it was. I'm trying to remember what grandparent owned it on VHS.
Yeah.
I think it was Ronnie and Laura.
Like, I remember Land Before Time, but, like, not this way. This was kind of a first viewing for me, really, start to finish. Probably not. Like I said, probably saw it as a kid, just don't remember it at all. But before we get started,
don't forget, you can go follow us on Twitter at Kick and Stream.
KickNStream.
You can write the show at kickingandstreamingpodcast@gmail.com.
That's with an and, not an ampersand.
And don't forget, folks, please be practicing in Dinosaur Month. Those three R's, RAR, review, and retweet.
RAR, review, retweet, everybody. Everyone to come and join our little Dino Watch party.
Don't forget to go check out the Patreon as well.
Guys, for just $5 a month, you too can be a Little Onion contributor at our $5 level. You get access to all of that fucking content. Please tell a friend. You get access to all of our bonus content, all of our television coverage, all of our long form coverage. We did 50 bajillion episodes of The Haunting of Hill House and John Adams. We did all three Lord of the Rings films. It's all waiting over there for you. You just gotta sign up. You just gotta sign up. Do it now. Do it today.
All right, who's ready to munch on some tree stars?
Did you mean leaves?
Yeah.
I'm Google.
I can't wait to get into the vernacular of this dino universe.
George Lucas and Steven Spielberg present a Don Bluth film, The Land Before Time. Long ago, when the Earth was new, five friends lost and alone.
Mother, where are you?
Took an incredible journey.
You want to go with me? Yeah!
Through a land of wonder. And a land of danger.
I hope he doesn't eat any of you. Quick, this way!
From the creators of An American Tale comes a story of friendship.
Do not stop! We must stay together!
Courage.
The Great Valley is just over the top of these rocks.
And laughter. From Universal Pictures.
Some things you see with your eyes, others you see with your heart.
A new adventure is born. The Land Before Time.
So, The Time Before Land, 1988...
No, The Land Before Time.
As I was watching these credits, I was like, ooh, animation's grainy. And then I saw those two words, Don Bluth. I was like, that's it.
Uh-huh.
There it is. I was like, what's going on?
This is a classic.
I cannot believe he's still alive.
Is he really?
He's 86, but he's still alive.
Oh, God love you, Don.
Don Bluth brings us a lot of animated favorites from the 80s. such as The Secret of Nim, An American Tale, All Dogs Go to Heaven. He also did, he's been with us before. He was with us when we covered Fern Gully.
No.
Sorry.
Thumbelina.
Thumbelina.
Which, believe me, Fern Gully's on the list, as well as all of those other films you just mentioned.
Which, I mean, we also love Anastasia.
Oh my God, his highest grossing animated film.
Exactly, exactly. But think about all those other films. You love all those movies.
I do.
They are absolutely core for your childhood specifically.
They light up a very specific part of my brain in a way that no other animated film has done or may ever do.
Hey, you know I liked the music in this film.
Yeah.
Guess who's the composer?
Wait. I remember seeing his name. James Horner?
It is James Horner.
Yeah.
Composer of, you guessed it, Titanic.
Yup.
And Avatar. He's a James Cameron whore, so. One of the shortest little films.
I think this is, to date, the shortest film we've ever covered.
I'm in love with how short it is.
Yeah, I know you are.
Not to mention a $72 million profit.
Mm-hmm.
1988.
Mm-hmm.
Our parents were not married yet.
Isn't that wild?
Insanity. This is a Spielberg vehicle as well.
It is.
He's not credited as a, you know, well, he is credited. It's produced by Amblin Entertainment, which is Spielberg's thing, you know.
And George Lucas is also involved.
We're going to follow the story of a tiny animated Apatosaurus. Apatosaur? Apatosaurus. It's a Brachiosaurus, whatever.
It's closer to a Brontosaur, but
I mean, the giant lizard being taxonomy is a little all over the place.
I was actually kind of surprised to learn how specific their species are, you know, because it just,
you know, as we go along this month, we will be getting further into the technical
Taxonomy
of dinosaurs.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And, this movie was so successful that it went on to sire, like, 14 other movies.
Yeah, first thing, hate your use of the word sire.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
I'm sorry.
And then second of all, like, really?
Yes.
How many do we need?
Exactly.
And you know what? If any series is going to get it, I'm glad it's them.
Yeah.
It's very touching, but
I did watch like an hour-long video essay about this because I obviously wasn't watching all like 14, 15 of these movies. So,
and we're only focusing on the first one, guys. Don't worry.
Yeah, don't worry. But I am going to drop the link to that video essay in the description. So go check that out if you're a major fan of this franchise because it's wild. Like there's one movie about a dinosaur cowboy.
What?
No, I'm not kidding.
What?
Voiced by Kiefer Sutherland.
Okay.
And then there's another one where aliens show up at the end.
What?
Yes!
No!
Yes! It's so wild.
Well, we know what audience they're feeding with that. Like, you got your tin hats? Like,
oh my God.
All right. Folks, you might have guessed it, but we've got names. Portraying our little Apatosaurus protagonist, Littlefoot. Voicing him, we've got Gabriel Damon. He is known for this.
Yeah, that's going to be the case with a lot of the voice actors today.
Let's see. Oh, he was in Punky Brewster. And Different Strokes.
Yeah.
And a lot of sitcoms.
A child actor from the 80s. God bless him.
Wow. A lot of television. Oh, he's Nicholas from Erie, Indiana.
Oh, okay.
From 1991.
Yeah.
Harrison, the Kearns love Erie, Indiana.
Yeah.
They introduced me to that. We've got portraying. I always say portraying when it's voicing. Voicing Sarah. More on this in a minute. A racist little triceratops.
Hey, she's a product of her environment.
I know why you're defending her, and it's because you are her.
I knew this was going to be a topic.
Yeah, it will be. It will be. Candace Houston. She's Molly Newton in Evening Shade, and she's Jesse Wade from Dolly Dearest. I don't want to talk about this, but here we go.
Oh, this is upsetting.
It's so incredibly upsetting. Voicing Ducky, a tiny little Saurolophus. Saurolophus. Whatever.
Or a big mouth.
Yeah. Okay. I love their little names for what they are.
Yeah.
We have Judith Barcy. Oh, God.
She's also famous for the little girl in All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Uh-huh.
Which brings us to the unfortunate topic.
I can't believe this.
Speaking of heaven. Guys, we have to talk about it because it's one of the things that the internet talks about the most when they talk about this movie.
This is so appalling.
Like, this sweet little girl, this sweet little voice actress.
She was 10 years old.
She was 10 years old and... She, unfortunately, throughout her short life, was subjected to a lot of abuse from her father and also her mother. Her mother was subjected to a lot of it as well. It's a very long story. If you want to go look it up on the internet, if you want to just ruin your day, that's fine. I'm sorry, trigger warning. But yeah, it's bad, culminating in her very tragic death. At the hands of her father, both her and her mother were murdered in a murder-suicide at the hands of her father. And, like,
I love Ducky.
I know.
That poor little girl.
It's so awful. It's horrific. I wish it wasn't a thing, but it is, and we gotta talk about it. Like, All Dogs Go to Heaven was her last film. Mm-hmm. And, like... They dedicated the song from the end of that to her. It's called Love Survives.
Christ.
I know! Don't you just want to... I can't. Okay.
How am I supposed to move on?
I know.
Voicing Petrie, a pternodon. Just call it a pterodactyl and be done with it.
Why is it so specific?
We have Will Ryan.
He's actually returning.
Oh, is he now?
He was in Thumbelina. He did the voice of Hero, the dog, and the goat. He was also in Looney Tunes Back in Action.
You're fucking kidding me.
No, I'm not. I can't remember what voice he provided in that one. But yeah, he was in Looney Tunes Back in Action as well.
Absolutely wild.
Absolutely loony.
He's Harold the Seahorse in The Little Mermaid.
Oh, yeah. The one that introduces Sebastian at the beginning of the concert.
And he's Digit in American Tale.
Yeah.
Helen Shaver is voicing Littlefoot's mother. She's Canadian. In Praise of Older Women, The Amityville Horror.
Yeah.
From 1979, the OG.
Mm-hmm.
Color of Money, The Craft. Ooh, Tremors 2, Aftershocks. Which, when we talk about Tremors, and we will, I will not be okay. Movie.
That's too
fucked
funny.
With me. God. Voicing Sarah's father is Burke Burns.
Mm-hmm.
You'll know him from The Land Before Time.
There are other things.
The character's name is Daddy Tops.
I know.
What the fuck?
Daddy Tops.
Stop. Don't say it like that.
I'm sorry. You're right. That's wrong of me.
Voicing Littlefoot's grandfather is Bill Irwin.
Mm-hmm.
Not the same Bill Irwin from Law & Order SVU or from The Grinch, but...
But he is returning. Would you like to know from where?
Where?
We didn't talk about it when we did the episode, but he was in Home Alone. He is the man in the airport.
Oh, yeah.
Who Kate gets the tickets from.
That's right.
So she can go on that flight. Like, she offers them her watch and everything.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's that guy.
He was also on Seinfeld.
He was.
Yeah. Oh, he was on I Love Lucy.
Mm-hmm. He's OG.
Way back in the day. And then, of course, our lovely narrator and the voice of Rooter.
The grumpy dinosaur.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of dinosaur Rooter is, but we have Pat Hingle. You'll know him from Sudden Impact.
Mm-hmm.
He's Jim Gordon in the Batman film franchise.
Yeah, like in the 80s and 90s, like the Tim Burton Batmans.
The Tim Burton Batmans, yes.
I loved that.
All right, guys, we're gonna fly through this.
It's like a 78-minute film, like, or even less than that.
First off, love that old Universal logo and that old school 80s animation. And I also wrote, oh, Don Bluth, there it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, listen, this opening sequence is gratuitous, especially since we start underwater.
This film is a lot of filler animation.
But...
And I'm not unthankful for it.
Yeah, because it's Don Bluth. It's such a boop on my brain.
But yes, we have this opening narration, don't we?
Once upon this same earth, beneath this same sun, long before you, before the ape and the elephant as well, before the wolf, the bison, the whale, before the mammoth and the mastodon, in the time of the dinosaurs.
Long before you and everything else alive right now, we're dinosaurs, he explains. Carnivores and herbivores and...
like flat teeth and sharp teeth.
And as we're going more and more through this opening narration, I'm like, so this is Dinosaur. Like, this is the plot of the movie Dinosaur.
Yeah, but that's the thing, Ross. Land Before Time was like 12 years before Dinosaur.
Okay, well, before time land the, you know, like...
No.
Did we have another dinosaur story like this? Like,
exactly. I think this movie was the springboard for many different things. Not just Dinosaur, but also I think this movie lends some of its influence to The Lion King. I have some examples, but there are some things about this movie that just feel very Lion King to me.
So, like, you know, I'm also interested because, you know, I make these comments on this being Dinosaur from 2000, but, like, this whole idea, because this is no less the third time this is showing up in a dinosaur subject for me, this concept that, you know, once whatever great cataclysmic event that began to wipe out the dinosaurs happened, widely accepted by scholars to be a gigantic meteor that hit the Earth and then blocked the sun and basically wiped out a great amount of the Earth's terraform. And this idea that a great amount of dinosaurs did survive and that they then went on this gigantic migration to find the last habitable place in Pangaea.
Yeah.
And do you fuck with Pangaea?
I do fucks with Pangaea. It makes sense to me.
Bring back Pangaea. I'm tired of all these countries. We don't need 195 countries. Jesus.
What do you mean it cost me $350 to fly across a single ocean?
What are you talking about? Like, that was the single greatest, that was the single greatest injustice to ever happen to humanity was continental divide.
Okay.
Continental drift. Are you fucking kidding me? So, like, that's kind of the story we're telling here, right? You know, these dinosaurs, what's left of them, the long necks, mm-hmm. you know, they are moving towards finding the last verdant place on Earth,
mm-hmm.
the Great Valley. Am I right?
Yeah, that's the ever lauded place that is going to be the last place for them to go. Not just the long necks, but many other flat teeth herds.
We've got some harrowing developments, too. We got babies being born in this new unstable world.
Yeah, we see a couple of our principal dino kiddos being born. Like,
look at those lashes.
I know, Ducky.
When we see Ducky get birthed. And, like,
yeah, and she's
got lashes for days. She would kill on RuPaul.
Mama.
When Ducky is born and goes, Mama, I went, they speak English?
Yeah. She's a big mouth, or what did you say? A Sarophilophysis?
Yeah, so, Sarophilophysis.
Sarophilophysis.
Sarophilob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we also have baby Sarah, the Triceratops.
Yeah, no, I was referring to her as actually the name Sarah. I, like, wrote in my notes, I was like, this dinosaur's name is Sarah?
But they spell it like the middle of Triceratops. They barely broke a sweat on that one.
C-E-R-A, like.
Or Threehorn. They know themselves as Threehorns.
Which one? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we also have Littlefoot, the Apatosaurus, or long neck.
You know, and like the narrator when he's like, some were born without fear, or some were seemingly born without fear, but hatching in this time can even be dangerous or whatever, you know?
Yeah, this is another thing that shows up later in Dinosaur.
When the egg travels? Yeah.
That, like, little dinosaur that steals the eggs out of the nest, they're little troublemakers, right?
I can't wait to cover Dinosaur because I love the noise those things make.
Littlefoot is the only baby born in the herd of longnecks that season.
Littlefoot.
He's their, quote, last hope for the future. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, no
down.
Pressure. Yeah.
They're all adorable as babies. I can't stand it. And there is a very special quality to that animation when Littlefoot sees his mother for the first time out of the egg.
One herd had only a single baby, their last hope for the future. And they called him Littlefoot.
here I am.
It's just that Don Bluth, man. We talked about this in Thumbelina. You can really feel the emotion radiating. It's like they're hand-drawn creations, but they feel real. They feel human to us as an audience.
Human?
Yeah, human. I mean, dinosaurs didn't have emotions, Ross.
If we are humanity, what were dinosaurs?
Dinomanity.
Dinomanity? I don't think that's how it is, but...
It's the kind of thing that makes me wish things were still animated by hand.
That's what you were going to say. It kind of makes me wish we still had dinosaurs.
No. And, like, his mother, his grandmother, and his grandfather... And him, Littlefoot, are the only remaining members of their herd. There are no other long necks around this great migration of flat teeth, you know, dinos that are headed for the Great Valley.
And like we were saying, the shit's looking pretty bleak. Obviously, this cataclysmic apocalyptic event has taken place to where the sun's nearly been completely blocked.
Yeah, just about.
Everything's like smoky and desolate, and they're just kind of surviving out here. When they're walking along and they come across the tree star.
Oh.
They call it a tree star, and I'm Google like, did you mean leaf?
Yeah, but Ross, my brain lit up when I saw that tree star. I also remember as a child being like, wow, that looks delicious.
Like, his mom finds it and then hands it to him because it's for him, right?
Yeah.
You know, she tells him they're very special. I love that thing the narrator said earlier about how, you know, the carnivores thought they ruled the herbivores, but then it turned out the thing that ruled all of them was the leaf.
Yeah, the greenery.
Was the greenery.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's what kept everything going. You can't eat the herbivores if they're not herbivoring, you know?
They're not herbivoring!
She's explaining to him, like, you know, the tree star, the leaf, is very important. It should be a sign of hope for us right now. You know, like, this is what we want to get back to.
And, like, you know...
He's smelling it and licking it, you know?
He's also asking the important questions. He's like,
have you ever seen the Great Valley?
No.
Well, how do you know it's really there?
Some things you see with your eyes. Others you see with your heart.
Which is really nice, but...
Like, it's a sweet sentiment, and she's absolutely right.
There's a promised land for dinosaurs out there, apparently, and
yeah. She
tells him the way they find it is by following the bright circle. Did you mean the sun?
Yes, absolutely.
And you gotta follow it until you find the place where it meets the land.
And listen, that's very logical. I understand they're dinosaurs, but at the same time, I'm like, that's paying attention right there.
I mean, knowing what we know about the Earth, how logical is it? But like...
But Ross, I'm just trying to put myself in their mindset. They don't have names for these things.
You're trying to put yourself in the dinosaur's mindset.
Yes!
You're so precious.
Stop it!
I love it. Oh, yeah. Okay. And we also are meeting Sarah, right?
Yeah, this is where Littlefoot starts making friends with the other kiddos in the various herds headed to the Great Valley. He meets Sarah, the bratty Triceratops. I wrote, I feel seen.
And apparently there's racism?
Yeah, they start...
Associated with dinosaurs?
Like, it's already tough enough that there's no food. We gotta bring racism into it? Because they start roughhousing, and Daddy Tops...
I really can't stand that.
Daddy Tops puts a stop to it.
Come, Sarah. Three horns never play with long necks.
Littlefoot...
Three horns never play with long necks.
I wrote, the fuck? Like,
yeah, and the thing is, that's the thing about Daddy Tops for the rest of the movies.
I really can't have you calling him that.
Well,
can't you just say Sarah's dad?
Nope. I'm calling him Daddy Tops.
You said it again. And like, you know, when Littlefoot is like, oh, come on, we're having fun.
Yeah.
What's with this racism bullshit? And he's talking to his mom and he's like, mom's like, yeah, Daddy Tops is right. I hated that. We keep to our own kind. We never do anything together. And he's like, why? She goes, well, because we're different. Why? And she's like, well, because it's always been that way. And I'm like, I'm hearing a lot of things white-centric Americans will say to justify racism.
Yeah.
And I just wrote, Jesus. Like, and I understand herbivores keeping to herbivores and carnivores keeping to carnivores.
Yeah, there's already that divide based on, you know, the right of survival.
What, we herbivores can't all get along? Like, what?
And she's like, don't worry. Once we get to the Great Valley, there will be lots of long necks for you to play with, which I'm not sure that comes to fruition. At least not for a few movies, but...
And this is where I took the note, because we get a shot of them, because everybody's asleep, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, wow, sleeping standing up must be a bitch, but it must be a lot for them to get up and down.
Yeah.
They're colossal creatures. So, Sarah is playing around, right? And Littlefoot wakes up and he wants to go play around with her, right?
They're chasing the same frog into this bog.
And she's being a territorial little white child about it, right?
Yeah.
And, guess what? It wouldn't be ramping it up if we didn't introduce what into this, Carrie?
A sharp tooth? Hiding from it in this thicket, and the way the T-Rex is poking its snoot down through the thorns, and they've animated the breath, and I can feel that breath on the back of my neck as those kids are trying to get away.
I respect your feelings on this.
She perilous.
It is Don Bluth animation, but I respect you.
And like, it chases them out onto this rock's edge.
And guess what? Mom to the rescue.
Oh yeah, Littlefoot's mother bitch slaps that T-Rex with her tail.
Oh, when she smacks that thing away with her enormous ass, I wrote, mother is mothering.
Oh my God.
The lion's roar as the T-Rex pounces on her sent me.
That's the thing. The dino fight is beautifully animated, but all of the dinosaur noises are just big cat noises.
Yeah, what's with that?
It's very distracting. Well, Ross, it's not like we've got recordings of dinosaur noises.
And what are they call? What are they referring to the earthquake as?
An earthshake?
Earthshake. So it's earthquake volcano time.
Yeah.
The clash of continents, if you will.
Yeah, this event seems to coincide with some tectonic plates crashing together.
All at once.
Yeah.
Not over millions of years, like scientists want you to believe.
Just all at once. And that creates a great divide, which separates Littlefoot, Sarah, and Littlefoot's mother from the rest of the herd.
Stop continental drift. It's separating families.
Stop it. Absolutely knock it off.
No more walls. Longer tables.
No more trenches. And like, guys, Littlefoot can't find his mom because she's been wounded and she's limped off somewhere. And he's just wandering around looking for her in the rain.
Oh, Carrie.
I know. He finds her on this rock, barely responsive.
Carrie.
Mother? Oh. Please get up.
I'm not sure I can, Littlefoot.
Yes, you can. Get up.
It's giving Lion King, like, Dad, come on, get up.
I wrote, I'm so fucked up.
Oh, I remember. I remember getting big upset about this. I don't think Laura would let me watch this because I got so upset.
I texted you and I said, I'm so sad.
Yeah.
Like, this is brutal.
And like, yeah, she asked him, do you remember the way to the Great Valley? And he's like, why do I have to know? You're going to be with me, right?
No. No, she's gonna be dead.
I'll be with you. Even if you can't see me.
What do you mean if I can't see you? I can always see you.
Littlefoot, let your heart guide you. It whispers. So listen closely.
Mother? Mother?
I wrote, this was a bad time for an ad break. I started crying harder because my emotions were being interrupted by a kitty litter ad.
I just watched it on Internet Archive.
I watched it on YouTube, and they interrupted this emotional catharsis with a kitty litter ad. I don't even have a cat.
I mean, I was lucky enough not to get ads. The dumb thing just kept buffering over and over again.
Oh my God.
And like when he's on his own and he's blaming his mother for dying, when he slides into Rooter. And I'm like, I've met this man before.
Yeah.
I've met him on the porch of some old wooden gas station.
Yeah, like, Rooter's very grumpy and not germane to the rest of the plot, but he's the one who tells Littlefoot, listen, your mother dying, that was nobody's fault.
Well, Sharptooth.
Well, but that's the point, Ross. It's the what?
The circle of life.
Like, can you hear the Hans Zimmer?
This
movie came 6 years before that one.
The great circle of life has begun. But you see, not all of us arrive together at the end.
What'll I do? I miss her so much.
And you'll always miss her. But she'll always be with you. As long as you remember the things she taught you.
He tells Littlefoot, not all of us arrive together at the end.
Yeah.
And that was like, I literally wrote, oh, fuck! Like,
the way poor Littlefoot is like, my tummy hurts. Well, that will too go in time, little fella. I feel that, my boy!
Littlefoot is alone in the world.
Yeah.
Depressed and mourning. And holy shit, he's only a kid. Like, and you know what? We see him get a little bigger.
Yeah.
You know? But like, again, I just am so, I was so fucked up during this part of the movie because he is absolutely alone.
This is another movie that, you know, does pat me on the hand about death, but at the same time does not shy away from those feelings of isolation and, you know, depression of losing the ones you love. It's something, you know, we think kids can't intellectualize those things, but they absolutely can.
I just hate that he has no one right now. Another tree star appears and Simba remembers the way to the Great Valley.
Yeah, the tree star floats down into his mother's footprint.
Oh.
And like all the water is pooling in the tree star, and he remembers his mother telling him how to get to the Great Valley.
Follow the bright circle past the great rock that looks like a long neck, and past the mountains that burn. I'll be in your heart, Littlefoot. Let your heart guide you.
Carrie.
Yeah?
Not him thinking. His shadow is his mother.
Yeah.
When his shadow is like really big on the rock because he's standing at a great distance against the sun.
He thinks it's his
he's
mommy.
Like, Mom! Oh. And then he gets up to it and he realizes it's not Mom, it's just physics. I'm so fucked up, bro. Like, that's so upsetting.
It's just physics. And, like, he finds Sarah back at the location where the earthshake happened. She's trying to figure out how to get across this chasm.
Yeah, and he's like, maybe we should help each other. And she's like, I'm a bigot. What don't you get?
I've looked all over here. You can't climb up the other side.
Maybe you can't.
Wait, I'm going to the Great Valley. We could help each other.
A three-horn. Does not need help from a long neck.
And she slides down into that trench, and I'm like, bye!
Yeah, she tells him to get lost and just fucks off by herself.
Because, yeah, I know she got separated from Daddy Tops, but he also lost his grandparents in the divide. Like,
yeah, honestly, she's probably better off away from Daddy Tops. Like, he is the reason she's like that, and I can't believe that that never really goes away. Throughout all 14 movies, he's always kind of backwards.
Well,
the more things
art
change,
imitates life.
The more things change, the more they stay the same. And we see Ducky again, finally. She's also been separated from her herd by the earthshake.
Yep.
And she's, like, coming upon Littlefoot being depressed. Ross, she's so cute. I can't
know.
Stand it.
I know.
I'm not a long neck. I'm a big mouth. But I am all alone. I am. I lost my family in the big earth shake.
You want to go with me?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yes, yes, yes. I do.
I'm trying not to think about the real world ramifications.
I know, as my literal first note for Ducky, I went, this is Ducky, and I'm so fucked up all over again. This is so dark.
I know.
And I can't stop thinking about it, but I love Ducky's little character.
She's so sweet and so optimistic.
I mean, if she's not the heart of the group, she's part of it.
Yeah. I agree. She is the heart.
Yeah.
And like, as soon as Littlefoot asks her to come with him, she's 100% in it.
Well, she ain't got nobody neither.
Yeah. And dead mother or not, how can you be depressed with her sweet little self around?
Guys, I know we're talking at this volume. Just turn us down a little bit.
It's just, we have so many feelings.
I know.
And like, Littlefoot is trying to get them some dinner by pulling this branch down for them to eat off of. And it's making these groaning noises. And Ducky's like, maybe we shouldn't eat from it if it's making those noises.
I'm sorry. Maybe we shouldn't eat from it if it's making those noises.
And then Littlefoot lets that branch go. And like a slingshot, this baby flying dinosaur comes shooting out of the tree.
Well, not flying.
Yeah, this is Petrie the say it, I can't say it.
Pterodon.
Pterodon.
Who are you? Huh?
My name, Petrie.
Petrie, huh? Funny name.
I flied?
No, you falled.
I fall?
You cannot fly? But how did you get way up there?
I climb.
A lot of fans of these movies find Petrie a little annoying, kind of in a Jar Jar Binks capacity.
Or like Melman from Madagascar.
A little bit, yeah. He's always causing problems. He's a little cowardly. He refers to himself in the third person all the time and in broken English.
When he said, I flied! And Ducky goes, no, you falled. It's like a question. I flied? No, you falled.
He can't fly, guys. He can't fly. He's a flying dinosaur. He can't fly. And he's very self-conscious about it. And like, because he can't fly, he just thinks he can ride on Littlefoot's head.
Which is annoying.
It is annoying. Littlefoot's like, hey, I'm not shepherding your ass through this valley.
Yeah, he's like, you gotta pay the toll. Like,
when they're all encouraging him to fly.
Yeah, trying to get him to fly.
They run right into Sarah.
Hate Sarah.
I know you hate Sarah.
I just continue.
Sarah's been separated from the group for a minute. She has encountered in the bowels of that cave system the unconscious Tyrannosaurus Rex. Like, she's so big balls when she's like headbutting it.
Yeah.
Like, come on, what do you do? Getting up, what are you gonna do? Get up and fight me?
And it does.
It does. It starts chasing her. That's what she's running from when they run into each other. But the T-Rex is nowhere to be found.
Sarah's like, listen, I know I'm a bigot, but that thing's alive.
Yeah.
And Littlefoot's like, no, it's fucking not. It's dead, okay?
And then she starts telling, like, absolute lies about how she faced off with that thing.
Uh-huh.
And, like, Ducky, who is hanging on her every word, is, like, sitting on that little log. And Sarah's trying to, you know, intimidate Littlefoot and jumps on the other end of that log and flings Ducky up onto this rock face above them.
I walked right up to him. I looked him straight in the eye. And said,
and like, Ducky's like, oh, well, I'm here now. And she's pitter-puttering around on the ground and finds this grassy enclosure, I don't know, grassy patch.
Uh-huh.
And there's an abandoned nest in the middle of this patch of grass, this lone little egg, just all by itself, starting to hatch.
It's a little late, but you know, late is better than not at all.
That's the thing, she's like, you should come out now. You are late, yes you are.
Yep, yep, yep.
Come out. You are all alone. Are you not scared? Huh?
We're going to the Great Valley. You can go with us. Yes, you can.
You are a spike tail, so we will call you Spike.
Spike's a whole vibe.
I love Spike!
And he might be my favorite.
He's a stegosaurus, or a spike tail, as they call them. And that's why she names him Spike.
And you know what? This is where I took this note. I understand all of their names except for Ducky.
Really?
Well, Sarah, Triceratops, Littlefoot, whatever. They're big dinosaurs with big feet, so he's tiny. Littlefoot.
It's ironic.
Spike, Stegosaurus.
Spike tail.
Yeah, and, you know, Petrie, I'm just going to go ahead and say I understand that.
Well, it's the derivative from the name of his species, which doesn't make any sense.
Exactly, but why does Ducky make sense?
I feel like Ducky.
Is it because they swim well?
I think it's a reference to their bill-like snoots, like a duck bill-like snoot. I think that's what
it kind is. Of reference do they have for that?
Ross.
Are there ducks at this time?
Please stop trying to make sense of it.
Did you not want me to sit here and overanalyze this on mic? Isn't that the point of the show?
Yeah, I get it.
I'm sorry. I'll let you continue.
And the thing is that Spike is hers now. He is baby. He is 2 minutes old. But from that moment, he's following Ducky around like she is mommy.
We're going to be friends now. We're going to have soft tacos later.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly the vibe. They're all on their way to the Great Valley now. And as the narrator points out, this is significant because they are their own little herd. And they are all different sorts of dinosaurs, which is unheard of. Unheard of!
Leave. time to leave.
I didn't do that on purpose.
I'll do the rest of the episode myself.
Unheard of!
You know what? We're both fired. I offended earlier, and you just offended, the puns. Okay.
God. When they think they found the Great Valley because they find that one clutch of trees...
Yeah, I guess that's where... I don't know. I don't know what shielded that one patch of land from desolation, but...
And they're like, oh, we found it! We found it!
But guess what comes out of the literal rockwork?
A random herd of dinosaurs who pick that patch almost clean in 30 seconds.
Now it's time for Sarah to make another racist comment about how greedy the long necks are. Everyone isn't starving, Sarah!
Ross, she's a child.
No excuse for racism.
Okay, I want you to think about all the stupid shit.
No, never mind. She's a kid, and has to be taken into account.
Oh, we don't want to think
about...
It
does. It has to be taken into account.
We don't want to think about all the stupid shit we said as kids.
I'm saying you're right.
Okay, all right.
Which I know you love hearing.
Hey, don't be mad at me. Don't be mad at me.
Okay, all right.
And so, because they are obviously children, they now have to form... Hold on.
They now have to form a ladder to get to the leaves, right?
Yeah, there's that one tree that has green left on it, and they form like a dino totem pole.
Because Littlefoot's like, Petrie, you think you could fly up there and get us some leaves? And he's like, I don't think so. And I love when Ducky's like,
Petrie, do not feel sad. It is all right. Many things do not fly. Rocks, trees, sticks, spike.
Petrie, do not feel bad. Many things do not fly.
It's so adorable!
And, you know, through forming their little totem pole ladder, whatever, with all their bodies, how do they get that many leaves? I was looking away.
No, they get Ducky and Petrie all the way up there, and then Petrie manages to shake all the leaves down.
Okay.
And because there's so many leaves at the bottom, Spike gets distracted and starts eating the leaves, and then... Littlefoot has to let go of Ducky, and then Ducky lets go of Petrie.
Yeah.
And Petrie lets go of the leaves, and like he kind of spreads his arms out of instinct and then kind of floats like a paper crane down to the bottom. And he, the way he looks up and goes,
I fly.
Come on, Sarah. We've got green food.
I can get my own green food.
Not Sarah refusing to eat because she didn't get the leaves herself. Again, I feel seen. Littlefoot gives her some anyway. She's not happy about it, but he gives her some anyway.
I love when they are tired and they snuggle up together because they're friends.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not Sarah. Sarah's not liking the fact that Spike just snuggled right up next to her. I just love when they all snuggle up together except for Littlefoot.
Uh-huh.
And Littlefoot's, like, upset.
Yeah, he's the one insisting on sleeping alone, questioning his choices. But then, like, Ducky gets up in the middle of the night because the other three are snoring.
Yeah.
And she goes over and cuddles up next to him.
And then Petrie goes over, and then Spike goes over, and Sarah's left all alone. And I felt a little bad for Sarah for just a second. And I was like, Sarah, stop being an obstinate little racist and go snuggle up with your friends.
I know it sounds dumb, but I remember learning a lot from this movie. I was also a very headstrong little kid. That definitely got tampered down with adolescence. I remember learning from that you can't act like a brat if you want to have friends.
Yeah.
You have to share and be kind and work together. And again, I know it sounds dumb. This is a movie about dinosaurs, but I remember seeing that in myself and reminding myself that you can't always be the star of the show.
You knew that at that age?
I understand that I might not have exacted that in my relationship with you.
I was
going to
say, what the fuck was the rest of that shit then?
Where was that for me?
When we were not friends until you were literally 18?
Yeah, I know. I'm
Come
sorry.
Come on.
I will spend the rest of my life apologizing for how I treated you.
Carrie. It's fine.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I treated you very badly as well. But in response. Anyway,
the next morning, Sarah wakes up to find out that the sharp tooth is back.
Yeah, not only are they sleeping in one of its footprints, but it's back.
They all have to run away from it and cram themselves in this hole in the rocks that the sharp tooth can't follow through. It's not that the drama is manufactured, it's real, but it doesn't last very long. You know what I mean? It took them 30 seconds to get away from that thing.
The drama in The Land Before Time was so telling.
All right.
Sorry.
I'm way less worse than some of the other people on the internet are about these movies.
That's... I love that you said way less worse.
Way less worse? Way less worse. Way less bad? You know what? Give me a break.
You're the one with the degree.
My head is cold. Can I have my wig back?
Here you go.
Thank you. And on the other side of that rock formation, they find the foretold rock that looks like a long neck, like what Mama said, right? You go past the rock that looks like a long neck.
Mama said there'd be rocks like this. There'd be rocks like this. My mama said.
Stop! Oh my God!
Mama said there'd be rocks like this. There'd be rocks like this. My mama said.
Oh my God!
Sorry.
And so.
I'm crying. I'm sorry.
That was good. This is where Littlefoot starts to get hard on them because he thinks that they're almost there, right? He's like, come on.
Oh, you can't quit now. What if the Great Valley is just over the top of these rocks?
Though they were sourced up and tired, Littlefoot urged them on. He'd never seen the Great Valley, but his heart told him that they were close. Surely at the top, they'd behold it finally.
And they all get to the tippy top and look out over that expanse, and it's very dramatic.
Good
Great Valley, you're crazy.
It's giving Madagascar. Well, this sucks.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Because this valley below is all barren, all sand, all rock, no greenery. And the way Sarah goes, this is your Great Valley? You're crazy.
Yeah.
Sarah says that she's going to go the easy way around the chasm. And Littlefoot is like, no, that's not the way Mom said to go. And this is where Sarah does a bad thing by saying unkind things about his dead mommy.
No.
Really? Not the bigot.
Sarah, we have to keep following the bright circle.
I'm taking the easy way for once.
But it's the wrong way.
Who says?
My mother.
Then she was the stupid long neck too.
Take that back!
Never!
Take it back!
No!
They start scrapping and everyone falls down into the bottom of that chasm. And I'm sorry, guys, she kind of kicks his ass, which I always liked as a child.
Uh-huh.
I don't want anybody to fight as an adult, but she kind of kicks his ass.
So you're cheering the bigot.
Stop. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey!
Oh, I'm sorry. Did
no!
Do you not like the reality of what you said?
Hey!
Oh,
no.
Okay.
As an adult, I don't want anyone to fight, is what I said.
I guess you did.
I did. Mm-hmm. I sure did. Okay. Qualifying remarks.
You're acting like a real three-horn over there. I'm just saying.
You know what? I'm going to come across this table. If you don't stop comparing me to Sarah. Okay. At least the bigoted part of Sarah.
All right. Okay.
And she decides she's just going to go off on her own.
Go on. Go the wrong way. We never wanted you with us anyway. Come on. We have to keep going. Come on.
Sarah's way is easier.
I think so, too.
But, like, Littlefoot doesn't care. He's content to go that really dangerous way back up the other side of the rock face. And Petrie, Ducky, and Spike go with Sarah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, Littlefoot.
I do want to say, I know that we don't have to talk about the whole thing, but that whole point where Petrie gets stuck in the tar, and then the rest of them get stuck in the tar trying to save Petrie, but Sarah just walks off.
Yeah.
Walks ahead.
That's the thing. This scene is entirely too casual for me because, yeah, Petrie gets stuck in, like, some tar. He falls off Sarah's back. But the thing that is entirely too casual about this scene is that there's a volcano erupting in the background.
Period. Oh, the mountains that burn forever or whatever they're called.
Yeah, we were uber concerned about the earth shake and the sharp tooth, but not about the volcanic activity and sulfur pits.
Again, continental drift destroys lives.
Oh, Sarah, Ducky, Spike! Help! Help Sarah! Sarah, where are you?
Littlefoot!
Ducky! Littlefoot! Hang on, I'm coming!
And of course only Littlefoot can help, because Ducky and Spike are trapped on a floating bit of magma, and he has to save them, and then go back for Petrie, stuck in the goo. Sarah, who couldn't be bothered, she didn't stop for anybody who fell behind. She gets cornered by a trio of other dinosaurs. I meant to look up the name of those dinosaurs.
They're literally being called domeheads in the synopsis.
Okay,
but
domeheads. She gets trapped by a trio of domeheads, and, like, she's already yelling for them. Even though she did not stop to help them, she's yelling for them. And guys, this is so great. Ducky, Petrie, Spike, and Littlefoot have obviously gotten out of the tar pit, but now they form themselves on top of one another to look like a tar monster.
Yeah.
And, like,
scares away the dome heads.
And, like, Sarah's screaming her head off because she thinks this thing is going to kill her.
And then when they're like, Sarah, it's us.
She's so embarrassed.
She's like, I knew it was you the whole time. I did.
You know how many times in my young life I had felt that way?
I bet.
Sarah?
Sarah, come back!
Sarah!
Sarah was still too proud to admit that She'd gone the wrong way.
That's the thing. I remember feeling that way as a kid sometimes. Like, I was wrong. And I don't know how to verbalize that I was wrong and apologize for it.
And your type of personality, when left unchecked, is what's bad about the world.
Okay.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Are you?
I'm joking. Well, I'm sorry. There's a point of truth to that, not associated with you. If people can't feel the weight of being wrong,
you're right.
It warps them into bad people.
You are very right about
who
that.
Who become pathological. Anyway.
And so the other four are cleaning the tar off of themselves in this pond. This pond has a very, very deep bottom. And it stopped.
Yeah. Guess who's fucking back?
The T-Rex. The T-Rex is following them.
So we're hatching a little plan in relation to this deep motherfucking pool.
These children are going to take on this sharp tooth by luring him into the deep end of the pond where he won't be able to swim with them little arms, right?
I have one comment here.
What?
Littlefoot has this sharp tooth character, mm-hmm. this Tyrannosaurus or whatever, has been gendered differently a couple of times in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning, it was a she.
Oh, was it?
And now we're calling it he.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is like, because Littlefoot is basically like, guys, that bitch killed my mother. Like, no cap, let's end it for all. Let's end it once and for all.
Yeah.
You know, like, so we don't need to gender this dinosaur, but I just wanted to make that comment.
Okay, all right.
Anyway.
And like, you know, since he won't be able to swim in that deep end of the pond, they're also going to push a big rock from the cliff overhead onto him.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also a repeating battle tactic in the rest of the movies. Like, that seems to be, you know, the way to get rid of anything that's bothering them.
Push rock on problem, problem disappears?
Yes!
Okay.
It happens over and over again.
Well, hey, when something works, it works, you know? Like,
if it's not Baroque, don't fix it.
Sometimes there's a womp rat-sized hole in the Death Star
mm-hmm.
that will make it be destroyed, and sometimes two movies after that, the same problem is present.
You're right.
You know, like...
Now we need some bait.
Me? Oh, no. No, no, no. No, 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 no.
She has to lead him out of the caves, this sharp tooth, into the pond, and the T-Rex is trying to get at her in the water, and frankly, I'm honestly surprised that the T-Rex is even bothering, considering she's like a single, she's a bite-sized snack.
But she's a powerful snack.
Yeah, okay. Petrie whistles to signal to Spike and Littlefoot to push the boulder over the edge above them. Sarah's nowhere to be found. She's not helping. And, like, the T-Rex headbutts the rock face, and Petrie, like, falls onto his snoot, and the T-Rex, like, blows breath up at him, and he spreads his little wings, and, guys, he starts flying!
He flied.
He flied! And guys, Littlefoot and Spike can't get the rock over the edge. Like, the T-Rex is now, like, on top of the rock. None of the physics of this make any sense.
And in very come on, Von Tussle, shake your fanny muscle fashion, Sarah is here to help push the rock over.
At the 11th hour.
I know.
More like the 11th hour and 59th minute. But yeah, she helps them push the rock over the edge.
Sarah! You're back!
The T-Rex snaps Petrie's wing and drags him down with him. And guys,
I was like, don't do this to me. Not here.
Not here.
Not now. I have 10 minutes left in this movie.
Don't do this.
Don't do it.
But you know what you should have realized, bud?
Yeah.
That this is characteristic of so many children's movies from our lives.
Yeah, we get faked out with death.
That's one of my least favorite things about kids' movies. I get it. children are able to understand death, but maybe let's not torment them with it.
Let's kill the tiny animated animal.
But only for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, like, miraculously, Petrie reemerges almost immediately.
Poor, poor Petrie. Petrie.
Stop!
You go without Petrie?
Petrie.
Petrie! You're safe! Yep.
Oh, yeah. And Ducky's, like, crying. He was my friend. Wait! He's alive! The big eyes. Like, the big Ducky eyes realizing her friend is alive.
It's too much.
I think Ducky and Petrie should end up together.
That's weird.
I know they're children. But, like, when they grow up.
Okay. All right.
I know they can't have children. But, like...
That's odd.
Can you imagine flying Saralophosses or whatever?
Flying duckies.
Yeah.
Birds.
Oh, my God. That's how ducks were created.
Dinosaurs evolved into birds.
Pterodons and Saralophoses, they made it and they created ducks. We're paleontologists now, guys.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
All the laughs have to stop, though.
Okay.
Because the...
Okay.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Let me get there.
Please.
The sharp tooth is gone, but they are still lost. They haven't reached the Great Valley, and Littlefoot feels like he's failed everyone. His friends, his self, his mother. And this is also another part that is big Lion King.
Yeah, I wrote Mufasa vibes.
Yeah, that cloud formation... starts to look like his mother's silhouette. Like the shadow, right? He thought the shadow was his mother.
And, you know, her main refrain through the whole thing in his head from his past is, you know, lead with your heart and don't give up trying to get to the goddamn Great Valley.
Aww.
And when he's, Carrie,
mm-hmm.
I cried again.
I did too.
But this line in particular fucked me right back up. When he says...
Mother... I tried to do what you told me, but it's just too hard. I'll never find the Great Valley.
And God, does that hit my soul. Like,
yeah.
I feel that so incredibly much.
You know,
like, Mom, I tried to do what you told me to do was right, but it's just too hard.
Like, however long we have our parents, whether we have them not very long at all or we have them for the rest of our lives, like, hopefully they tried to give us some direction. And, like, we tried, and it's so hard. Mm-hmm. I'm a 31-year-old woman, and I'm still trying to, you know, use some of the advice my parents gave me.
Yes, you should.
And it's so hard.
Mm-hmm.
It made me, and like the beauty of the animation, all the colors, it's making you feel things. The way that cloud formation starts to drift away, and he's begging her not to go.
Not that. That's not it. Christ.
And he follows those clouds to this cliff. And guys, there it is. It's beautiful.
The nesting ground.
The nesting ground!
From the end of Dinosaur End. I wrote, why am I fucking crying?
Because like, it's a self-actualization story.
We're
or a self-determination story.
Yeah, we're here.
We're here.
We're alive.
And
we're dinosaurs.
The Great Valley was all they dreamed it would be. A land of green, of leaves, and life. There were waterfalls, grassy meadows, enough tree stars to feast on forever. And grazing upon them, their families.
Everybody gets their family back? Ducky and her family adopt Spike as their own?
Little Littlefoot gets his grandfather and silent grandmother back.
Well, she talks in later movies, believe you me.
But she got no voice in this one.
I know, but believe me, like, that's everything. And, like, Sarah gets her racist dad back.
Daddy Tops is here.
Okay.
I know I kept saying it willingly, but like...
Daddy Tops. Guys, drag community, if you want a drag name, Daddy Tops with a dinosaur theme... It's a very thin theme, but it could work.
I challenge you.
You challenge?
Someone out there listening, if you are a drag performer, I challenge you. Cultivate a dinosaur drag persona called Daddy Tops.
It's such a niche reference. And guys, listen, even though this story is a little thin on paper, I really do believe it is the animation that makes it what it is. They are dinosaurs, to your point. They're not human beings.
But they have racism just like we do.
Well, no. Yes.
They have hardship just like we do.
Yes.
They go through grief. They mourn. They self-actualize. They fight. They survive.
But, like, it's even deeper for that for me in the animation. I've always believed that it is a major talent to genuinely... communicate human emotions
through animals.
Anthropomorphism.
You really are into this anthropomorphism.
Well, not when you say it like that. I'm into the craft of translating those human emotions through animal faces. It definitely goes back to Disney.
Yeah, anthropomorphism.
They've been doing that the entirety of Disney's existence. And so I've always been fascinated by that. And even though Disney had been doing it longer, I feel like Don Bluth does it best. That's my personal opinion.
You know they're remaking this?
No, they're not!
Yeah, with computer animation.
No!
I'm kidding. I'm totally faking you
out. Wow!
I'm totally faking you out.
Can you believe how viscerally I just reacted just now?
I can, because that was my point, was to get you to react viscerally. Which, by the way, now that I've said it... You know,
what? It's
probably going to hit the wire, you know?
There's 14 of them. We don't need any more. This is not something that needs to be rebooted.
What have we been saying for a better part of a decade?
Yeah.
We don't need this. We are powerless to stop it from happening.
The way your glasses went askew.
Sorry.
When you gestured like that.
I hate it.
That was so funny. But, you know, we would not be remiss if we closed this recording out without mentioning... the Diana Ross closing credits song, If We Hold On Together.
If we hold on together, I know our dreams will never die. Dreams see us through to forever.
I just keep thinking about how there's racism amongst the dinosaurs in the land before time.
You can't feel anything about the Diana Ross. You're just stuck on Daddy Tops.
In the time before land.
We've got so many other problems.
In the before land time.
We gotta have racism?
I know.
I get it, though. It's a way to teach kids... You know, about, not about racism, but about...
Exclusion.
And not hating on other people because they look different from you.
Thanks, Don.
Thanks, Don. Thanks, Don. Thanks, Steve. Thanks, George, I guess.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, that's just...
You're getting kissed on the head by this movie.
I am. Yeah. I am. A very special part of my little soul is being nurtured by watching this movie again. And I think that's part of why we do this podcast. We love to revisit things we loved as children and have our souls nourished by them.
All right, guys, keeping in theme with our dino-tastic streams.
I feel like we are fudging the definition here a little bit, but we have been wanting to cover this movie for a while.
And since there's dinosaurs in it,
it's like, is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Yeah. Is this a dinosaur movie? And yes, it's more of a dinosaur movie than Die Hard is a Christmas movie. I will die on that hill for sure.
But what are we doing next week, Carrie?
Guys, next week we are covering the 1994 live-action adaptation of the famous cartoon, The Flintstones.
Flintstones. Meet the Flintstones. They're a modern Stone Age family. From the
town of Bedrock. They're a page right out of history. Guys, John Goodman.
John Goodman and Rick Moranis. I'm sorry.
Not to mention friggin' Elizabeth What's-Her-Bucket.
Elizabeth Perkins.
Elizabeth Perkins and Rosie O'Donnell.
Listen, she annoys me. I love me some Rosie.
I love Rosie. Oh my God.
Great choice. Great choice.
So guys, look out for that next week. In the meantime, please go follow us on Twitter at KickNStream.
KickNStream.
You can write the show at kickingandstreamingpodcast@gmail.com.
That's with an and, not an ampersand.
And don't forget, folks, please be practicing the three R's: rate, review, retweet.
Rate, review, retweet, folks. We want everyone to come and join our little dynamic watch party. More quality content coming to you from Kicking and Streaming.
Until then, I'm Carrie.
I'm Ross.
And as always, Ross!